Thanks, Pastor Rich, again. Genesis chapter 41, and then we'll also be in Genesis chapter 45 today. Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 45. As you all know by this time, the main character of our whole week of VBS was who, boys and girls? Joseph. That's right. We went through the life of Joseph all week long, and today I thought to myself, what are we going to be able to do to really recap, to summarize what we talked about during the whole week, just in a real quick moment of time, be able to put it in one thought? What did Joseph do? What did God use him to do while he was on the earth? And you know, as I was thinking about it, I was thinking, really, to be honest with you, Joseph was used to do an awesome work. He was used to give life to many people. Because we learned this week, boys and girls, didn't we, that when Joseph came to be a ruler in Egypt after being in the prison, when he came to be a ruler, the reason he came to rule was because there was a famine that was coming in only 7 years. There would be 7 years of plenty, then there was going to be 7 years of famine. And during those 7 years of famine, Joseph was going to be used by God to feed many, many, many hungry people who would have died if it wouldn't have been for the wisdom that God had given Joseph to prepare themselves for 7 years, prepare themselves to feed all these hungry, dying people. And our message title today is Feeding a Hungry, Dying World. And you see, today, I think we have the same mission that Joseph had. We have a mission to feed a hungry, dying world. Now, we need to give them life, just like Joseph was life to all the people who came to his storehouses for food. But I'm not talking about feeding their stomachs. I'm talking about feeding their souls. And you know, God has given us a mission, and it is to tell others about the gospel of Christ, to feed them with the word of God. It says in Genesis 41, look with me now at verse 55, if you would. Genesis 41, verse 55. And when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. And Pharaoh said unto all the Egyptians, did he say, come to me? No. He said, go unto Joseph. What he saith to you, do. What an amazing thing it must have been to be Joseph, to think that all these people are coming to you and you're giving them hope in this world. They have no hope whatsoever of living more than a few weeks. And you're able to offer them this hope by saying, hey, here we go. Here's some corn. Go home and live. What an awesome thing it would have been. You know what? Wouldn't it be great to be able to have that same goal, that same purpose of feeding those who one day they're going to die? They're already dead spiritually, the Bible says, but they're going to die physically. And when that day comes, if they have not met Jesus Christ as their only hope of heaven, as their Savior, they're going to spend an eternity in hell, away from God. We have to share the good news that there is life, not corn, not bread. There is life, and it's Jesus Christ. And you know what? Every believer can be used of God to feed a hungry, dying world. Everybody in here can do that. Everybody in here can do that. I'm very sure of that. But how? Well, we're going to look at Joseph's life. We're going to look at Joseph's life today real quickly and see how we can do it. Number one, you must fill up your storehouses with food. You must fill up your storehouses with food. In our story, Joseph was given 7 years. 7 years of plenty. 7 years he knew he was going to have plenty of food, plenty of grain, plenty of corn. The question was, what was he going to do with those years? Now, everything was growing at an awesome rate. Everyone's fields were filled with bountiful harvest. The question was, what were they going to do with it? Were they going to eat it all up? Were they going to sell it? Were they going to keep some? Joseph could have been foolish. He really could have let all the food to be eaten up and not had some forethought to save some food for later. But he knew from God that there was going to be a time of famine where there was going to be nothing. So he better use his time wisely. What did he do? Well, he used it to fill his storehouses with food. If you would look with me at Genesis chapter 41. Genesis chapter 41, verse 35 and 36. It says this. Pharaoh was asking Joseph what he should do. And in verse 35, he said, and let them gather all the food of those good years that come and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh. And let them keep food in the cities. And that food shall be for store to the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine. Now look with me at verse 48. It says, and he gathered up all the food. He gathered up all the food of the 7 years which were in the land of Egypt. And he laid up the food in the cities the food of the field, which was round about every city, laid he up in the same. And Joseph gathered corn as the sand of the sea, very much, until he left numbering, for it was without number. So I brought in an ear of corn here for us to take a look at. Joseph said, you know what, guys? We're going to fill up our storehouses with the right thing. We're going to fill up our storehouses with some food. So when the time comes, when we're not going to have any food, we're going to be okay. Because we're going to be storing it for 7 years. Every day, we're going to put a little bit away. We're going to be wise, and we're going to put our storehouses full of food. And you know what? How wise that was. Because 7 years later, nobody had anything. They all came to him and they said, please give us something to eat. He said, okay, here you go. They went home and people were able to survive the famine. They were able to live because God used Joseph to perform this great work. You know what? Joseph got busy filling his storehouses up with the right thing, with food. Today, if you want to feed a hungry, dying world, you know what you have to do? You're going to have to fill your mind and your heart with the right things. You got to fill your mind and your heart with the right things. What's in your storehouses? What's in your mind? What are you filling your heart with? If it's not filled with the right things, nothing's going to come out that's right. Nothing's going to come out that's going to bring any glory and honor to Christ. What was in our hearts? What was in our minds before Christ? Let me give you an idea. Look with me up on the screen at Romans chapter 1, verse 29 through 31. It says, being filled with all unrighteousness. Look at that word, filled. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. That is a really, really big list. Would you say that we were filled? Yeah, we got plenty of bad things all over the place. I don't think I'd ever want to say that list over again because my mouth is tired. That was a lot of bad stuff Paul put in those three verses right there of what we were filled with, what our lives were filled with before Christ. And that is every one of us up there. Every one of us before salvation was that. We were filled with all the things that are dishonoring and that are not glorifying to Christ. Man, we got to fill ourselves up with something different, don't we? Because you know what? If we don't have any life in us, how are we going to share that life with others? We don't have any life to share. If our storehouses don't have any life, we can't share life. We can't feed a hungry, dying world. Well, it says in John 6, 47, I believe it's on the screen, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Let me tell you something. If you want to feed a hungry, dying world, the first thing you're going to have to be filled up is with Christ. If you're not filled with Christ, if you've never accepted him as your Savior, you have no chance. Absolutely no possibility of giving life to anyone else. But number two, you know what else you're going to have to fill yourself up with? You're going to have to fill yourself up with his written word. Look with me, or actually I'll just read it to you. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 16, Paul says this, holding forth the word of life. The word of life. This word is life. That I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. You know what? If you want to be able to feed others, if you want to be able to give others some spiritual life, it's not going to come from yourself. Because you don't have anything in your flesh to give. I don't have anything in my flesh to give. But if I fill myself up with the Word, and I fill my mind, and I fill my heart with the written Word of God, and I contemplate on it, and I dwell on it, I allow it to fill me, that's going to come out. And it's the Word of life. That's the only thing that can quicken spirits. And you know, number three, we have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 says, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. When you get saved, when you fill yourself up with the Word of God, and when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, we're going to be able to make a difference. We're going to be able to save souls. We're going to be able to give life to those who are dying. What an awesome thing it is. You know, filling our hearts and our minds with these things has to be a purposeful act. It doesn't happen by accident. For VBS this year, we had a goal. We had something we wanted to do. You know what we wanted to do? We wanted to feed a bunch of hungry kids with Little Debbie snacks. Because we knew they were going to be tearing down the doors, wanting something to eat. And 150 crazy kids coming off the game square are pretty scary, right, snack people? Yeah, you better have something. But you know what? We didn't. Me and Pastor Rich didn't just say, Pastor Rich, you know what? Let's just hope that on Monday there'll be some snacks on that table. You know what? I think the Lord will provide. It'll be fine. We'll come in on Monday, and I just can see a mound of Little Debbie snacks. Let's not worry about it. Is that what we did? No. What we did was we put a plan together. We said we're going to talk to the church. We're going to say, hey, we need some help. Would any of you be willing to bring some Little Debbie snacks? I mean, to donate it to VBS this year so we can give it to the kids during the days of VBS. So that's what we did. And you know what? You know what happened? Let me show you what happened. My office turned into a storehouse. Not a storehouse of corn, a storehouse of Little Debbie snacks. I have another view for you to look at here. Look at that. Yeah, praise the Lord. It's right. It's a temptation, Vince. Let me tell you, when you're working with those Little Debbie snacks, no, not at all. Well, you know what? We put a plan together, and my office became a storehouse of Little Debbie snacks. And you know what we did on Sunday? We moved a few Little Debbie snacks over to the church, gave them to the kids on Tuesday. We did the same thing Tuesday afternoon. On Wednesday, they had something to eat. We did the same thing on Wednesday. On Thursday, they had something to eat. And I'll be honest with you, there's still some Little Debbie snacks in my office right now. They're like, yes, I want some. But we put a plan together, and we were able to bring it in. That's what Joseph did. He said, guys, we got 7 years. Let's use them wisely. Let's put some corn in the storehouses for later. And you know what? You're not just going to wake up one morning when someone comes to you who's hurting and who needs Christ. You're not just going to wake up and say, you know what? Okay, here you go. Here's the word of God. Here's what you need to know. Here's the truth. First of all, if you're not saved, it's impossible. But even if you are saved, don't expect, if you've never been in the word of God and it just sits on your shelf for months on end, to be able to make any kind of a difference on lives. Man, you got to fill yourself up with the right thing. We got to fill our storehouses up with food. Number two, though, there's something else we're going to have to do. Number two, not only do we have to fill up our storehouses with food, number two, we got to team up with like-minded believers. Team up with like-minded believers. Pharaoh had a monumental task on his plate. Really, he did. At first, it was his task. All he said was, Joseph, listen, what does my dream mean? I got all these weirdo cows that are really full, and some are really empty. And then the empty ones are eating up the cows, and the same thing's happening with the grain. Is that right, Joseph? And what does this mean? And Joseph said, well, it means that you're going to have 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. There you go. Well, Pharaoh had a pretty big job on his hand. Joseph says, you need to go put your storehouses full of food. You better prepare for it. Well, then he said, well, give me some more advice, Joseph. What else should I do? Well, look with me at Genesis chapter 41, verse 33. Verse 33 of chapter 31, it says this. Joseph is talking to Pharaoh. He says, now therefore, let Pharaoh look out a man, discreet and wise, and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this. And then look at this. And let him appoint officers over the land, and take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the seven plenteous years. Joseph said, hey, Pharaoh, you got to get a man who can be the leader to head up this operation, but you're going to need a bunch of officers too. Make sure you get some officers to be a help to him. Pharaoh said, good advice. Okay, you're the man. And he said, and now it's your job to worry about finding the officers. And I can only imagine what kind of a task that was for Joseph. He had to find people to go plant all the corn each year, harvest the corn, harvest the wheat, bring it in. He had to have people, I'm sure, build the storehouses. He had to have people to tote those things into the storehouses. He had to have people inventory all the food. He had to have people who could administer the food to everyone who came in an orderly fashion, to where it wasn't just a madhouse and chaos as people came for food. This wasn't just going to be Joseph sitting on his little throne and feeding a hungry world. Man, it took a lot of people working together. This was a pretty big operation. And you know what? VBS is the same way. Vacation Bible School. Pastor Rich, we could never have done what happened this week without so many volunteers. So many people who came and said, I'm going to give my week. I'm going to give my time before VBS or after VBS to be able to share Christ with a bunch of dying children who don't know Christ. Or even if they do know Christ, to fill them up with the Word of God. We think that's pretty important. And we're going to take part in this. So you know what? Just give you an idea of all the different parts that come together for Vacation Bible School. We had to have people come in for decorations. Take a look at those. Pretty cool decorations, huh? How many of you got to see these last week? They did an awesome job. The decoration crew did an amazing job. They spent hours last Sunday afternoon getting everything ready for Tuesday. Then we had the registration crew. And they had a job on their hands on Tuesday, getting all the children's names written down, making sure they all were assigned to the right families, because we had six different families. They were all assigned to a different one, giving everyone a sash to wear, making sure they were going to the right seats, assigned with the right leaders. I mean, they did an awesome job. And then we know what? When they got to their families, we had family leaders. And here's all of our family leaders and the assistant leaders that were, during this week, walking with the kids to the different areas that they went to, whether it was crafts, whether it was games, whether it was coming back in here for the lesson time. They were with them at all times. And then what was really cool was we had a time, what we called family time, where the family leaders would go, and they'd go off into one of these classrooms in the back. They would break the family into even smaller groups, so they'd break into two groups, and they would review the lesson that they had heard. And they would get the kids to have some discussion to kind of to see if they understood what they had been taught. It was really great, and our family leaders just did an awesome job. I was able to stop by each room one day, and they were all just pouring their heart out to the kids. I'm thankful for them. And then you know what? We had the craft team. And this year, we had a really cool... Look at all our craft people. Pretty cool, isn't it? Yeah. We had a really cool idea this year. You see the all those tents behind them? That was our marketplace. And we had different tables set up. And the children, we just let them eat their snacks and say, go at it. Go wherever you want to go. And they were able to go to, what was it, Miss Jamie? One per day, or was it two per day? However many per day, okay. And they'd go to all the different shops, and they'd make the coolest crafts you've ever seen in your life. And we had like Egyptian music going on in there. It really felt like a marketplace. It was neat. And then we had the, I think the snack crew is next, right? Am I right? No, I'm wrong. It's the game crew. Oh, that's right. The game crew. And the game crew, I called them whenever I talked to them. I said, you guys are the hardcore BBSers. Let me tell you, you're out in the heat every day in the 100-degree weather. Look at them. You can tell they're sweaty. they did a great job, and they had a lot of fun games for the kids. On one of the days, they had a big sponge relay where they dipped a sponge in the water and put it over their head, and then only boy who had to take a dive into the kiddie pool is Brother Rob's son. He came up with mud all over him. It was great. It was really good. And then we had the snack crew. Yeah. Those snacks were great. Weren't they good snacks, boys and girls? Yeah, they did an awesome job giving the kids the snacks and something to drink when they came in from the games. We had the nursery team that were watching some of our leaders' kids while they were serving so they could come out here and serve the Lord each day. They did an awesome job. We had the lesson time, and there was our lesson. The guy in the middle, Brother Kyler, he was Joseph. We got on his right, we had his guard, Ramses. And then we had Miss Loisel on the left. She would start off the lesson each day with narration, and then she would close it up at the end with a narration, kind of with some concluding remarks to apply it to the kids' lives. And really the way the story worked was Joseph would just tell what was happening to him each day, and the kids would come in for a day in the life of Joseph. It was really cool. As he was in the prison, they talked to him from behind prison bars. And then when he was in the palace, they would talk to him as well. And then we had the skit crew, and we had many different people on our skits each day. I couldn't put them all up there, but different people who were involved in our skits to help the kids get an idea what it would be like to be with the baker and the butler, or to be with Joseph's brothers when they were walking to Egypt, wondering what it was going to be like, things like that. We had those, I'm very thankful for these ladies, who counseled the children when they would come out for salvation. And they would just sit there. They really had no other job but to wait for a child who would come out, wanting to know Christ. And then when those children would come out, they were ready with their Bible in hand, and they would share the gospel. And we had 10 children saved this week. What an awesome thing it was. And then lastly, we don't have a picture for them, but we had some people who came at the end on Saturday, yesterday, to help us get this whole place cleaned up so we could be here at church today on Sunday. There's a lot of people that gave their time, gave their efforts to Vacation Bible School. A lot like Joseph. I mean, he's like, I can't do this on my own. Let's get some guys to work together to make this happen. And how thankful I am for all of our volunteers. Romans 12, 4 and 5, if you could turn with me there. Romans chapter 12, verse number 4. Let's look at these verses together. Keep your finger in Genesis. And let's look at Romans chapter 12, verse 4. When you're there, say amen. Amen. All right, it says, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. We all have different jobs. We all have different offices in God's work. You know, not everybody back then when Joseph was around could be the guy who was heading up the operation. Some people had to harvest the wheat. Some people had to store it. Some people had to give it out. But every job was important. And every job in God's work is important. You know, whether you're a prayer warrior, whether the person who's teaching a life group, whether you're someone who's working with children's ministries, just bringing children to the bathroom each day so that the teacher can still teach the word every Sunday. It doesn't matter what God has called you to do. We all have a necessity that's laid upon us to reach others with the gospel of Christ and to feed their souls. And that brings me to my last point, which is this. You got to stay focused on God's purpose. You must stay focused on God's purpose. If you could, please turn back to Genesis. Turn back to Genesis, and we're going to look one more time at our man Joseph. And this time, turn to Genesis chapter 45. And while you turn there, let me say that in the last 2 days of VBS, the boys and girls saw that Joseph had a very difficult choice to make. Very difficult choice to make. You see, there was one group, probably in all the world, one group in all the world that Joseph probably would rather not have wanted to give food to. There was one group of guys. Do you have any guesses who that group of people might be? His brothers. That's right. The ones who had thrown him in a ditch and then sold him into slavery. And for all they knew, probably he would have died over there. Those guys. Well, in VBS, the boys and girls saw that those guys traveled to Egypt to Joseph, not knowing he was Joseph, mind you. They were completely at his mercy. And they said, hey, can we please have some food so that we can live and that our father can live? What would you have done if that would have been you? If you would have been given that opportunity, would you have thrown him in jail? Would you have killed them? Would you have refused to give them corn and just sent them back home? No, you wouldn't have done any of those things? Well, I'm afraid I would have. If that would have been me, I think I might have done that. But that isn't what Joseph did. You know what he did? He fed them. He did give him food. I think he thought about it for a little while, but he ended up making the right decision. And he did feed his brothers, and that must have been pretty hard to do. Why would he have done this? Well, if you look with me at Genesis 45, verse 5, I think we might be able to find the answer. I think he knew what his purpose was. In verse 5, he says, "Now therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither. For God did send me before you to do what? Preserve life." He said, don't be upset. Don't worry. You know why God sent me? He sent me to preserve life. So that's what I'm doing. So don't be angry with yourselves. Now look with me at verse 6. He says, "For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now, it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and a lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Haste ye, and go up to my father, and say unto him, Thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me, tarry not. And thou shalt dwell." Now he's given him a home. "Thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children and thy children's children, and thy flocks and thy herds, and all that thou hast. And there will I what? There will I nourish thee. For yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty." How awesome is that? You know what? Joseph didn't forget his purpose. He was sent to nourish, and he was sent to preserve life. And he wasn't going to let anything sidetrack him from that purpose. I thought about naming this point, "Unpleasant People Get Hungry Too." Because really, that's really what I'm trying to convey, is that people that we don't like get hungry. People that aren't the nicest need Christ. People that will hurt you need forgiveness. People that have really done some things that are wrong to you, like they did to Joseph, they need Christ just like anybody else does. And Joseph said, "You know what? You guys need food. Here it is. And guess what? I forgive you too." I think many times in the Christian life, we get started off on the right foot. Okay, we get saved. That's the first step. Then the next step is we start getting filled up with the Word. We start filling ourselves up. We're filling our storehouses up with the right things. getting our mind dwelling on God and His Word, filling ourselves with His Spirit every day. And then maybe we even team up with some people to share the Word with others, whether it's in VBS or wherever you've ever gotten with a group of people to do something for the Lord and to serve Him. We start serving God together. We have like-minded believers that we're serving with. But then Satan tries to sidetrack us. And the way he does it is many times he tries to throw past hurts back in our face again. Or he tries to use someone from our past who has hurt us, who comes back to us. And then we think to ourselves, man, you know what? I don't know if I want to do this anymore. This hurts too bad. Or he used past mistakes, things we've done before that we just feel awful about. Satan goes, hey, don't forget about this. Remember this that happened about 20 years ago? Well, you are worthless. Get out of this. Get out of this serving God thing because you're not meant for it. Or maybe he'll use someone in the present who hurts us and offends us, and the next thing you know, we're not serving God. And we forget what our purpose is. We forget that it's not really about us. It's about what God has sent us to do. Joseph didn't have a choice in the matter. Joseph was sent to preserve life and to nourish. And that's what we've been sent to do. We've been sent to preserve life, give life, share the life of Christ with a dying world that has no hope apart from Him, to nourish them with the truth. Now, when we allow our circumstances and we allow others to dictate whether or not we serve the Lord, we'll never get anything done. I'll tell you something, if you're worried about what everybody else thinks and what everybody else does, and that can stop you from doing what you know God wants you to do, then you know what? We're not going to be able to make very much progress in this world towards reaching it for Christ. We have to remember, go with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We have to remember something. Something that Paul remembered in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. If you would, look with me at verse number 13. I'm sorry, verse number 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 14. Paul says here, even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. But I have used none of these things. Paul says, you know what? Even if you don't give me any money, even if you don't provide for my carnal needs, that's okay. I have used none of these things. Neither have I written these things, that it should be so done unto me. For it were better for me to die than that any man should make my glorying void. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For what? Necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Woe unto us if we preach not the gospel. The world is dying without Christ. They're dying, just like people were dying when Joseph was walking the earth, but they're dying spiritually. We must not forget our purpose. We can't forget the reason why God left us on the earth. God used Joseph to be a life giver to those around him. He really did. Wouldn't you like to be used in the same way? It'd be pretty awesome. Well, you know what? We've got to make sure, first of all, that we're filling up our storehouses with the right things. Start getting in the Word of God. Start getting in prayer every day and say, Lord, fill me up with your Spirit so I see the world around me that's in need, that's hungering for something more than that they have today. And then you know what you do next? Team up with some people that you can serve with who have the same goal in mind, who are like-minded, who say, man, we can do this together. Let's go do it. Let's go get her done. Let's reach the world with the gospel of Christ. Let's feed those who are hungry. But lastly, please don't ever forget your purpose. Don't think to yourself that you're just doing it because it's something you want to do. No, you're doing it because you've been called to do it. Because someone came to us and told us. And lastly, before we pray, I'd like to mention that if you're someone here who's still dying without Christ, and you've never accepted Him into your life to be your only hope of heaven and your Savior, I want to tell you something. The gospel that we keep talking about is just the good news that Jesus died, He was buried, and that He rose again. And if you believe those three things, that Jesus died, He was buried, and that He rose again, and one more thing, that He did it for your sins. If you believe that, the moment you do, and you trust Christ as your Savior, you will be given life. And you'll be given the same purpose that we've been talking about today. I urge you, if you've never gotten that settled with God, please accept the salvation that He's offering today. Let's bow our heads for prayer.